If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles that's right there in front of you, it is page 944. 944. So Romans chapter 8. We will look at two verses today, verses 26 and 27. For these weeks, we have been looking at one chapter in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 8. Many believe it is one of the most powerful and encouraging chapters and challenging chapters in all of Scripture. And so we are taking a look at this and just taking our time going through it. What we've discovered is that in this chapter, it is made up of contrast. And there are different things like condemnation, liberation. You got the flesh, you got the spirit, you got slavery, you've got sonship. It's just back and forth where all throughout there are contrasts within this scripture. And so in these two verses we're getting ready to look at today, there is a contrast between confusion and clarity. Between confusion and clarity. Confusion. Every one of us deals with things that confuse us. You know, they're just things in life that come up and you get confused. Like, why are there interstates in Hawaii? You know, these are things that make you want to think. Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard? I don't know. You know, just kind of always wondered why he never had a beard on there. How come when you buy lemon juice, it says it has artificial flavoring? However, when you get dishwashing liquid, it says it's made from real lemons. Those things don't make sense. And how can you put on lipstick and yet your lips still move? So you would think they'd be stuck on there. Isn't that confusing? See, it confuses me. And then when you go and you buy a house, how many of you have ever bought a house? Raise your hand. How many of you felt like you were signing your life away? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you understood everything you signed? Keep your hand down. We don't know. They just give reams of paper. And I love the way they say to sign. Oh, this is for so-and-so. This happened. This will never happen. Just going to sign right there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's so confusing. And then technology. Yikes. Technology. I got young people over here. You know, the great thing is about technology is that my age group, my parents did not know how to program a VCR, okay? After the service, Google VCR so you know what it is. But it is what you would put a VHS tape in to be able to tape your favorite programs. And there were commercials about this. Every person has experienced it. Your mom or dad is calling you saying, "Hi in the world. You know, we want to tape this show. How do we do it?" And you try to explain it over the phone and it is difficult as can be. Okay. And then our age group, we're trying to figure out this thing. Okay. So we've got this and it's got like 8 million apps of things that you can do. We know how to do 4. And then you get frustrated with us because you say, "It's so easy. Just do this and this and this. I know." And we love you. But as your pastor, I'm just going to tell you something. You're going to be my age one day and technology is going to change. And guess what? You're going to be just as clueless as I am. And you're going to be looking to some younger person saying, "I have no idea how to do this over here." It is confusing. Life can be confusing. And it's confusing with people. It can be confusing with relationships. And you know, early on, burned in my memory was when I was 8 years old, living there in Atlanta, Georgia, and we would get kids together and we would play games and we'd play kick the can and we'd play tag and chase and all those kind of things. Next door neighbor, Karen Crook, she's about a year younger than I am. And we were outside and she says, "See if you can catch me." I said, "Okay." So I ran after her and I tagged her. She started crying. So she's crying. My mom walks out and says, "Danny, go get your switch." I said, "For what?" "Get your switch. Karen's crying over there." I said, "She told me to chase her and tag her." "I don't care. Get the switch." Bam, bam, bam. I said, "Okay. She said, tag me. I tagged her. Now she's crying, and I got a switch. Why is it?" And from that moment forward, I've always said, "I just don't understand, ladies. I just don't understand the female mindset over here." And it started when I was 8. Okay, so these are things of confusion. But there is nothing more exciting than to take something that is confusing and then all of a sudden transfer it into clarity. To where it's, oh, I understand. That's how you program that VCR. Oh, that's how that gets done. And you just take a deep breath and say, good, this makes sense. In our walk with God, there are a number of areas of confusion to where we're always looking for clarity. But one of the areas is in prayer. And the Apostle Paul, in just these two verses, takes something that is confusing and brings a sense of clarity to it. So I want you to follow with me. Romans chapter 8 is just two verses, verses 26 through 27. 26 through 27, it says this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, it says, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let me just give you a foundational sentence, and it's that very first portion of verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Let me define two words, help and weakness. Help. The word help is a word that means to lend a hand to someone. It means that I am coming alongside of you to help you with something. It doesn't mean that I take it over. It means I'm coming to help you. It's the exact same word that was used in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, when Jesus was there in the house of Mary and Martha. And you remember he was speaking and Mary was sitting there just listening to Jesus, and Martha was busy in the kitchen. And she was upset because Mary was hanging out with Jesus while she was fixing all the meal. And she comes to Jesus and she says, will you tell my sister to help me? Same word, help me. What was she saying? She wasn't saying, bring my sister in here to do all the work so that I can come in there. She said, I need her to come alongside of me and to help me. So when you look at this verse, and it starts out saying that likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. As we get ready to talk about this area of confusion, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and lends a hand to help us. And he helps us through this weakness. What is the weakness? Generally, this word weakness, it would mean our inclination to sin. Our inclination to sin. That's just who we are. It's our sin nature. We have this inclination to do the wrong thing. And oftentimes, that gets us in a mess. And he says, I come alongside to help you in your weakness. But in this specific passage, the weakness is a lack of understanding about prayer. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of you to help you in this lack of understanding about prayer. So let's talk about the confusion, then we'll talk about the clarity. Number one, confusion. The confusion of prayer is uncertain how to pray. The confusion of prayer is we are uncertain how to pray. In verse 26, he says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We just don't know what to pray for as we ought. Now, I think if you would be honest, every one of us have had times we just didn't know how to pray for something. And it usually falls into two areas. Number one is this, is our limited insight into God's will. We have a limited insight into God's will. I'm just not really certain how to pray about this because I just don't fully understand your will. Explain this a little further. Many situations we are puzzled to know exactly what to pray for because oftentimes we're confused about the purposes of God. What is God doing in this particular situation? Should I pray for comfort in the friend's station of life, or is God using some holy sandpaper on this individual to help them on their walk of sanctification? Should I pray for deliverance from sufferings, or should I pray for strength to endure them? So when I'm going through a difficult time, am I supposed to say, oh, God, get me out of this difficult time? Or am I supposed to pray, God, you got me here for a reason, so give me strength to endure during these times? It's because we don't fully understand God's purposes. It makes it difficult to be able to pray. I've always been reminded, I think, of something that Rick Burgess had said about his friend Rich Wingo. And that as Rich Wingo came up to him a number of years ago and he told him about a situation he was going through and a very difficult trial that he had, Rick's initial response was, "Well, brother, I'll pray for you that that trial will go away. I'll pray for you that you'll make it through there." And Rich came back and says, "No, this is what I want you to pray. God, keep me in this fire until I'm fully refined. Do not bring me out until I'm the man of Christ that you want me to be." There's confusion in prayer. Am I supposed to pray that God takes you out of that? Or am I supposed to pray that God keeps you in it to get you to where God wants you to be? And second of time is this. At times we cannot bear or express our struggles and our suffering. At times we cannot bear or express our struggles and suffering. There are things that are going on in our life that are so emotional, it's like we just can't get our arms around it. We can't bear them. We don't know how to express them. At times, there are matters of such importance that it grips our hearts to such an extent that words are impossible. Not only do we not know the right words to say, but at times we become speechless before God. And we will kneel before God. Our hearts are broken. Our spirits are saddened. We are burdened. But we can't even form the words, only the emotions. We know we got to pray about this. We believe that God can do something about it. But I just don't know how to pray. I've had this numerous times in my life to where there's a situation going on and I'm just not sure how to pray for it. And it's like ripping my guts out. And it either could be in a personal relationship. It could be when we were here Wednesday night hearing about the persecuted church and to hear about people overseas who are losing their lives and what they're going through because of their stands for Jesus Christ. And sometimes those things just grip your heart and you just don't really know how to pray. Because as we would sit there and pray for them to be out of persecution, some of them would come to us and say, "Oh no, this is God's refining fire. This is where we need to be. This is where we earn our stripes. This is where we become trained to be godly men and women." You just don't know. And then those things in your own life that are personal, where you either decisions that you have to make or conversations that you have to have with someone, and you just don't know how to do it. And you come, you say, "I'm going to have a prayer time." And so you kneel by your bed or kneel by your chair or you fall prostrate on the floor or you just stand up before God and nothing comes out. Because you just don't really know what to say. I don't even know where to start, Lord. These things are churning. It's in my head. It's in my heart. But I just don't know. You know, I just don't know. And so there's confusion. And that's what this old life is. It just wants to keep you in that confusion of not knowing what to pray. So let me tell you about the clarity of prayer. How do you get clarity to this? Well, the key to it is the Holy Spirit. The key to it is the Holy Spirit. The clarity of prayer, the Holy Spirit. And when you look at this, the first thing that you will see is you will see the presence of the Holy Spirit. In this verse, in verse 26, when he says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, he starts right out, when I have no idea what to pray, boom, I go to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself. So he calls attention to the Holy Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit. Whenever a person makes a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, to understand that they are sinners separated from God and that God sent his own son, Jesus, to die on a cross for his sins, was raised from the dead 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, wants to adopt you into his family. And when you take that step of acceptance, as soon as you do that, he says, "I give you my Spirit to live within you." You have the Holy Spirit living within you. In fact, Jesus in John 14, 16, when he was with his disciples on that last night before he was to be arrested, he says, "And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you." And you read it out loud. What's that last word? Forever. He will be with you forever. So once you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit forever. So if you're a believer, Holy Spirit resides within you. And Jesus says, "I've given you the helper, the Holy Spirit. He is there with you forever." So when I'm trying to get some clarity about prayer, it starts with the Holy Spirit who already lives within you. Number two is the intercession of the Holy Spirit. The intercession of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Spirit himself intercedes for us." He intercedes for us. Now, I did not realize until I started researching this passage that this word intercede, this is the only place it's found in the Bible. And it's seen, this particular word, even though it's got Jesus has intercession for us, the way he's got it listed here, it says it's used in early Christian literature and it's found here in the Bible. And it's an interesting word because it is a compound verb that literally means happens on and in his behalf. I want you to write that down because you say it makes absolutely no sense right now and you are confused. I'm going to give you clarity. Are you ready? So write this down. It's a compound verb. And when it means a compound verb, it means it's got a word that means this and a word that means this, and they put it together to mean one word. It means happens on. Sometimes we've had a phrase where somebody walking around says, "I just happened on to the accident that took place over there on the road. I just happened on to see this person that was in need." To intercede, it says the Holy Spirit happens on, okay? And when it happens on with us, whatever it does is for our good. It is in his behalf. See it like this. You come upon someone who's falling into some kind of quandary, and upon discovering the trapped person's dilemma, you swiftly spring into action and you rescue and deliver the one who was trapped. You happened upon them and you did something on their behalf. Happened upon them, you did something on their behalf. Intercession is like a rescue operation. It's like a rescue operation. You are here, you are struggling, you're confused, you're trying to pray to God, but you have no idea how to verbalize what's going on. You have no idea to verbalize what you want to God. You're at a loss for words, you're deeply burdened about your life, your situation, somebody close to us. Like I said, it could be a persecuted people. Whatever it is, you are overwhelmed and you do not know how to personally pray. It is, when that happens, it is if you have fallen into this deep hole of uncertainty and you just don't know how to get out. And not only is it negatively affecting your prayer life, but it's negatively affecting your walk with God. And so it says in this passage that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, which means it's like the Holy Spirit falls in that hole with you. He says, "I'm going down in the hole with you, and I'm going to go down in the hole with you, and then I'm going to get you out. Because I'm doing this on your behalf." So when you keep that in mind, whenever you are emotionally struggling with something, exactly how to pray to God, you can pretty well guarantee that it is something that is really working in your heart and tearing you up on the inside. And sometimes you feel like you're the only one that feels this and the only one that understands this. It says the Holy Spirit happens onto you. That means he comes alongside of you. It means he's there with you. And it means that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on with you. He feels your emotions. He understands your emotions. And he says, "You're not facing this challenge alone." He understands the battles. He understands the inadequacies that you're experiencing. He understands it all, the emotions, the frustrations. He comes right alongside of you and he is there beside you. And he's interceding for you. And what he does is he begins to take your situation and he shapes your desires and your attempted prayers, and he makes it an effective prayer that goes to the Heavenly Father. And that takes us to number three. And number three is this: the Holy Spirit makes your groans into effective prayers. The Holy Spirit makes your groans into effective prayers. He says in verse 26, He says, Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Groanings too deep for words. Now, this is not OPG, all right? Old person groaning. Just want to let you know. We talked about that last week. And thank you for the many stories that you have shared with me on your experiences of old person groaning, okay? Now, there's some of you that said, I don't understand that. That is why you never miss a Sunday, okay? Because there are things said on one Sunday that are just incredible. It'll live you for the rest of your life. And you know what you'll say? I missed it. You know what I'm going to say? Yeah, you sure did. Man, can't believe that. You need to be here. Or you can go on the website and watch it and see what we're talking about. But these are groanings that take place. Now, interpreters disagree. They differ. Don't say disagree. Differ. They differ on what does this mean, that these groanings. Some believe it's like the groanings that the Holy Spirit is making, an utterance that the Holy Spirit. Now, some people, I don't want to go too far over here. Some people would look at that and say, well, this is speaking in tongues, or what's called glossolalia. But it's not that at all. You go back to Corinthians where he talks about that, because with that, when a person is speaking in tongues, it says there needs to be someone to interpret. And he's not talking about anything like that. So in here, it's these groanings that are uttered by the Holy Spirit that we don't understand, but God does, and that could be. And there are others that say it is that the Holy Spirit takes our sighs, our groanings, the unintelligible sounds that we make, our emotions, and takes them, forms them, and lifts them up to the Heavenly Father. And that's where I lean to on this, and that when we are uttering this with inside of us, God, the Holy Spirit takes this and he really expresses what our heart and what our spirit is. And he puts this in an effective prayer that goes right to God. Now that means that the Holy Spirit does not pray instead of us. Remember, the very first, the Spirit helps us. That means he comes alongside. He doesn't push us out of the way and say, hey, I got this, Danny, don't worry about it. I know what to do. No, you are struggling in prayer, Holy Spirit comes alongside of you. He knows your heart. He knows your spirit. He knows what you're trying to pray to God. And even though you don't feel like you can get the right words, he knows the desires of your heart. And he says he takes that and he takes it to the Father. And so he takes those groanings and he takes it to the Lord. Now, this is so important because the confusion of how to pray often results in the choice not to pray. Because what will happen is, if I'm not really sure how to pray, I just won't pray. Now, I want you to write this statement down. It is ignorance of what to pray is an invalid excuse to refuse to pray. Ignorance of what to pray is an invalid excuse to refuse to pray. Because sometimes you just throw your hands up, I don't even know how to pray about it. I can't figure it out in my rational mind. I don't know what to tell this person. I don't know what we're supposed to do. I've got A, I got B. I'm just not sure. Well, why don't you pray about it? I just don't know. I don't even understand this. I don't think God even understands it. And so I'm kind of frustrated about it. So I don't even need to pray about it. No. Don't use that as an excuse. Because instead of our ignorance putting a seal upon our lips and leaving our hearts to break, the Holy Spirit gives our desires a language that is heard and understood by God. And just by the fact of you coming before God and trying to express this, the Holy Spirit, who's right there beside you, takes those and he lifts it up into an effective prayer to God. He becomes an effective intercessor on our behalf, even though we're really not certain the words to say. Well, in verse 27, number four is this: the content of the Holy Spirit's prayer is consistent with God's will. I got good news for you. Whatever the Holy Spirit prays, it will be consistent with God's will. Verse 27 in here, he says, and he who searches hearts, God who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God is searching the hearts of all of us. He knows the desires of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit comes to the aid of believers who are baffled by the perplexity of prayer, and they take their concerns to God, and he takes their concerns to God with an intensity greater than we can even imagine. God knows our human hearts. God knows the mind of his own Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Thus, the Spirit will always pray to the will of God. And so while you and I are struggling as to how to make this prayer audible, the Holy Spirit understands the desires of our hearts, pieces it together, and makes an effective prayer to God to put it within His will. And when the Father hears His will being prayed by the Spirit, then the Father and the Spirit are in perfect harmony for the purposes of God to be accomplished in the believer through the instrument of prayer. It is accomplished through the instrument of prayer. And so by you and by me saying, I don't know how to pray for this, I'm just going to back out, I'm going to push prayer aside, we are messing up. We need to step into that arena, get before God, try to share what our need is, what our prayer is, and know that the Holy Spirit is there. So this is how I want to close it. The certainties of prayer. There are three statements I want you to write. As we look at this passage, there are three certainties of prayer, just bullet statements, that we can take home with us. Number one is this. When you don't know what to pray, call on the Holy Spirit to fall into your situation with you. When you don't know what to pray, call on the Holy Spirit to fall into your situation with you. Now, there will be some that will say, well, the Holy Spirit's always with us, so I don't really need to call Him because He knows what's going on. And listen, I think it's best to keep our focus on what we are doing. And if we just assume that the Holy Spirit's just going to take care of everything, then we'll never pray. We'll just push these things off. What I say, what I believe this passage is saying, is that He helps. He comes alongside of. When we come before God and pray, and I'm in that frustration of not knowing exactly how to pray, I would at that moment, I would say, Holy Spirit, the helper, I'm calling you alongside. Fall into this situation with me. Help me to form these words. And even if I can't positively form these words, you know my heart, and I pray that you would make that prayer to the Father, okay? When you don't know what to pray, call on the Holy Spirit to fall into your situation with you. Number two, the Holy Spirit will pray your heart to God. The Holy Spirit will pray your heart to God. Holy Spirit will pray your heart to God. And to me, that is so encouraging because I think I know what I want to do, or I think I know what is right. I just don't know how to phrase it. And then to know the Holy Spirit understands my heart and He takes that and He prays it to God. It's incredible. And then the third point is this, and that is that God will give you your deepest desires that will bring glory to Him. God will give you your deepest desires that will bring glory to Him. So when you pray, God says, I'm going to give you your deepest desires because they will bring glory to God. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There's the abiding. We abide in Him. He abides in us. We've got our, we're connected together. We understand the purposes. We pray and it's going to bring honor and glory to God. And He says, it will be done. Prayer. There's confusion and there's clarity. But God knows what our heart is. Augustine, people say his name different ways, late 4th century, early 5th century, was a strong leader in the early Christian church. And Augustine, before his conversion, lived a very sensual lifestyle. And he was making plans to go to Rome. His mother, who had been praying that he would become a Christian, prayed to God that he would prevent Augustine from going to Rome because she was concerned that the debauchery of the lifestyle there would just take him further down into the pit. She prayed and he went. And God allowed him to go to Rome. But it was there in Rome to where he encountered the person of Jesus Christ and he became saved. And so the mother was praying one thing. He doesn't need to go to Rome. Her heart desire was, I want my son to know Christ. And what the Holy Spirit does is he takes the heart's desire and he lifts that up to the Father. And he lifts that up to the Father. What God did was he didn't answer her specific prayer about Rome. He answered her heart prayer about her son who made his decision for Christ. There's confusion and there's clarity. And as we get confused about how to pray, what to pray, we need to call the Holy Spirit alongside to help us to understand how we are to pray. And it is so good to know that the Holy Spirit knows our hearts. And if my heart desire gets answered, that trumps any specific prayer I've got out here on how I want it to happen. And if that heart desire is going to bring God more glory, it says God will answer that prayer and continue to advance his kingdoms. Again, life can be confusing when it comes to prayer. However, there is no confusion to the sweetest prayer that anyone can pray, and that is the prayer of salvation. And that is when God is calling each one of us as individuals to understand that our life of sin have separated us from his holiness. And that destructive force of sin is destroying our life both here and will take us into eternity. And when we understand that God has this irresistible force of love through giving his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, he gives us the opportunity to pray and to ask Christ to come into our lives and to completely change our lives. And when that happens, it means that the confusion that I've had in walking along in my life, it begins to change, and I began to get more clarity about what my purpose is, why I was created, and where I will spend eternity. And so for any of those today who you never made that decision, this could be the greatest day in your life, because this will take many areas of your life that are in confusion and bring clarity to them. And then as you continue in your life, bring more and more clarity along the journey that you walk. And it happens by just taking your will, your spirit, and saying, God, I want you to be in control. I know I'm a sinner. And I want your son to come into my life and to save me. Forgive me of my sins. And then put me on that road to live the life that you want to. You can do that even in this service. And then on the back of that card, that connection card, there's a place there where you could check that box and say, hey, I did that. I prayed to ask Christ today, and you turn that card in and we'll get in touch with you this week and talk to you. Or even better, as soon as the service is over, there's a connection room that we have, and you just go right out these doors, or if you're upstairs, just go right down the steps, and there'll be staff members and there will be other encouragers there, and we'd love to talk to you about that and rejoice with you and help you take those next steps. There's confusion in our world, confusion about a number of things. But God in his Holy Spirit will take confusion and bring clarity. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we're really thankful this day that your Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And as he comes alongside of us, he guides us, he directs us, he convicts us of sin and convicts us of righteousness. And at the same time, Lord, he intercedes for us. And so, Father, two main prayers. I pray for those who've never received Christ as Savior that today would be their day. And whether they're watching by live stream or whether they're sitting right here in this room today, that you would grasp their hearts and they would receive Christ as their Savior and take that next step toward living with you for eternity. And then, Lord, I pray for all of us, these who are believers and members of this church, that every one of us has got things that are going on that cause confusion and emotions and just misunderstandings and frustrations and decisions that have to be made. And Lord, help us not to be people that will take the ignorance of how to pray and use that as a justification not to pray. But may today's message ring true to them, to know that your Holy Spirit comes alongside of them, lends that helping hand, and will take their emotions, take their words, take their sighs, and those that are unutterable, and then lift them up to the Heavenly Father, and will pray our heart's desire. And may we walk out of this place more committed to pray and to take everything to you in prayer. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.